Hello! So this is a bonus episode where I talk to one of my closest friends, Michael Wheeler. We've known each other since I was about 2 years old. He was about four. He's an incredible comedy writer who won the BAFTA Rowcliffe TV Comedy Award last year. So this is us just shit-chatting, kicking a verbal ball about, exchanging voice notes over Facebook. And yes, sometimes it's very illuminating, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's just tedious. There's probably a whole baggy chunk of it in the middle there where it gets a bit boring for people, but thus is the tableau of life. So enjoy it. Pretend you're there with us. Knocking back. He'll be having a craft beer. I'll be having a Diet Coke. You have what you want. I'll probably sneak back to the toilets every now and again, and you'll hear the crackle of a blister pack, where I'll be emptying out 60 to hydrocodone onto my jumper, where I've like curved my jumper up like that, so it creates a pouch, and I'll empty the tablets into that pouch there, so that pouch is like my workstation. Very ritualistic drug use. Anyway, enjoy these. This is the first part of these bonus episodes, and I'll release them all intermittently.
Off, mate. The suggestion of doing this will be part of it. Be part of the process. So we're flying, mate. We're ahead of the game. Yeah, not seen any. Not seen any good chaos lately. Love it when things kick off. They don't do so much now. Things don't really kick off when you get to 30. 31 now, fuck. I'm just tanning in the garden at the moment. Got to do some writing at some point. Had a good post day, got the old Shamrock autobiography. And a new Trump book, new Woodward Trump book. A few other bits as well. Dick Gregory one. Have a good day at work. If anything comes to mind, I'll ping you over a message.
All right, champ. Just saw your video you posted on Twitter saying you were feeling pretty depressed.
I'm not depressed, I'm fine.
Hope you're feeling a bit better now.
I'm always feeling better. I'm fine.
I don't know. You probably won't listen to this until tomorrow anyway. So hopefully have a good night's sleep and feel better in the morning. But give me a call if you want to talk or whatever. But I know you normally go dark in the evenings. So yeah, get up early. Have something good for breakfast. Have some coffee. Oh, you don't. You're coffee. I don't think you're probably not a coffee guy, are you? Chin up, kiddo. Oh, you feel better soon. I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Yeah, cheers for the message, mate. I appreciate it. I laid a fat old cannonball when I got up, and instantly the depression lifted. It's definitely my bowels. My bowels is such a big cause of my mood swings. But I've deleted the video now. Sort of felt a bit embarrassed posting that. I just felt reaching out. But have you got the new Woodward book, The Rage by Bob Woodward, the second Trump one? I read the first Trump one. I think I've read most of the Trump books that are out, to be honest. But yeah, this one, for suckers like us who get accused of catastrophizing, there's something that validates our thoughts and stuff. Wait one sec, it's about to come up to 1 minute. So yeah, we get accused of being like Chicken Littles, but listen to this. This is from Mattis. If the word had come that It was inbound for Seattle. We were already launching interceptors, Mattis privately told others. If the North Koreans realized the United States had shot down their missile or had even tried to, they would likely prepare for more to fire more missiles. The potential we'd have to shoot to prevent a second launch was real, according to Mattis. And yeah, so they were having the conversations. They already had interceptors out to intercept the ICBMs. And the wheels were already in motion for counterattacks if it came to that.
Just Pope coming in again for some additional commentary. I read that passage like an arsehole because my blood sugar was low, but I can read. Okay? I just need you to know that I can read. Boy. Easily. I can read quite easily.
Poos ads. You've got the old poos ads. Let's get Sorry, I'm a bit out of breath. I just walked upstairs. That's good that you felt better after doing a poo. Yeah, that's a weird concept, feeling sad because you need a poo. It's almost like, I was thinking it's like a weird bit of like Scandinavian folklore or like a little story that they'd tell kids to make sure that they did a poo regularly. Like the sadness monster will get you if you hold your poo and don't do a poo on time. That's what's happened to you. The sadness monster got you because you kept your poo up in your stomach. So, oh God, fucking hell, I'm still out of breath. I've definitely got fitter over lockdown, but walking upstairs still will always be a killer. Will always be a killer for me. New Trump book, the new Woodward book. I literally couldn't have less interest in reading a book about Trump. I don't understand why you'd want to. What else is there? Like, we've had 4 years of this shit. Like, every day, like, he's such an open book. Every day he offers up all of his awfulness for us to see. Like, there's no, like, what can, all right, maybe there's like a few little things about, you know, ballistic missiles that oh bloody hell, that was a close one, or like the stuff that he said to Woodward about coronavirus, but like, what, why? What? I've got no interest in, we know how awful it is. What else could we possibly get from reading another fucking book all about it? Like, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's so many better uses of time and better books out there to read. I couldn't think of anything worse.
But I don't want scandal from the book. I don't want sensationalism. I just to kind of the minutiae of the job, like the procedural stuff, I find really interesting. The stuff where Trump isn't even a part of it, like just learning about like the rapport with like General Mattis and Rex Tillerson, and like how they had like a lunchtime ritual, and just like them little things, just the details of the job. I like stuff like that. I like stuff learning, like reading about bureaucracy and procedure and stuff like that. That's what I like. I don't want to know about, you know, Trump's outbursts or the next outrageous thing he said. I like reading loads of like political books that get into the nitty gritty, the sort of like cold hot coffee mornings and all that stuff. And they keep up on like Diet Coke to get them through the day. Yeah. But yeah, it's good. It's a good book. I'd recommend it. The Poopenschlag troll. It makes your brain go sad because you've not done your pops, your tonks. poop and schlag. Yeah, my. Well, you read. There's this book about information. This is about how much of a role inflammation plays within the stabilization of our moods, or just everything within everything. It's called The Inflamed Mind by Edward Bulmer. How important and overlooked for a long time inflammation has been as a key part of lots of different illnesses, including mental health like depression.
Right, first of all, if we're doing this, don't be eating when we're doing this. That's just rule number one for me, for anyone else that maybe ends up listening to these. Just get food out of your gob if you're talking on a microphone. Second of all, yeah, you've swayed me, actually. A book about the tiny sort of office minutiae of bureaucrats. That sounds really exciting, actually. I was on the fence about getting that, but listening about their lunch routines and pasta salad that they had before going to a meeting, that's swayed me. I'm just ordering it now, so I appreciate you telling me that, because I would have missed out on that. Thank you.
I genuinely thought Michael was being totally sarcastic for the duration of that message, but then I realised he was being sincere.
Right. I did a whole podcast where I ate a big pasta dinner while recording it, and people said they enjoyed it, and they thought it was funny. Yeah. That's what I want from all political memoirs. Like, there's two as well. They're kind of classics in their field. One's called What It Takes with Richard Ben Kramer, which is quite apposite at the moment because it was during one of... oh, my God. What's his name? I've got what he's got. The one who's running for president, Joe Biden. One of Joe Biden's first presidential campaigns. And there's a book called The Boys on the Bus as well, which is about like the reporters, political journalists. Is it apposite or pertinent? I think they mean the same thing. I'm not sure. Yeah, I won't eat. It's bad form. It's just orally displeasing to the ear. But orally pleasing in my mouth. Words! Fucking words, boy! How's that orally displeasing? Words, yeah! Just for the record, I think even I staggering at how unchanging Trump's popularity polling is. It's sort of stubbornly resistant to being influenced by his behaviour, etc. I still think he's done. I think Biden's going to win it. And that's only because of the handling of the pandemic. I think that'll be the thing that just will persuade people to just have a boring president for a moment. Just a caretaker president.
Yeah, it's probably worse for me listening to you eat, because I've been watching you eat since you're about 3 years old, so I've got the visuals to go along with the sound, and I know what a little pig you are when you're stuffing your face, so that's probably why it's worse for me to hear. Also, saying that reminded me, can you remember when you were a kid and you used to have like a rag next to you at all times to wipe your face just because you got food absolutely everywhere, like just a filthy, disgusting little pig child, stuff it, like just wallop in your face
into a big bowl of lasagna, and then you had to mop it up with a little thing that was kept by your side at all times. So that's, for me, that's why the audio is so distressing, because I know exactly what you look like with to go alongside that sound. Yeah, I don't know. On those books, I think I was thinking, like, I'd probably enjoy it more if it was a documentary, maybe, like something like The War Room, where it was actually, there were cameras picking up the minutiae of, you know, all those little behind the scenes tidbits. And I'd probably happily watch a documentary about that. But yeah, I don't know, for some reason, just reading a big hefty political book, I just can't be asked. I cannot be asked to read that, but I will watch the flickering images if you put them in front of me on Netflix. Talking of Netflix documentaries, did you listen to the Daily yesterday? There was a couple of people on there. The time's about to run out. There was a couple of people on there that have made a documentary about ICE. I think it's called Immigration Nation. That sounds quite interesting. That's on Netflix now. I might give that a watch. And lastly, just before I get ready for work and drop off my own sadness monster, I think you're mad. Trump's just, America's just fucked. Trump's going to win. He's not going to have lost any of his base, and I just can't. I don't know. I just can't see Biden winning. I can't remember who did the polling as well, but there was some sort of poll where they showed the exact percentage that Biden had to get to make any progress in specific states, and it was such a high number, high percentage for him to have any chance of actually winning. So yeah, I just think we're fucked. We're all fucked. Everything's absolutely fucked. One more thing before I get in the shower. You probably can't even hear this because the shower's on. I can't be able to turn it off again. But even though Trump is just a fat, bloated, fetid human, what's it? The most perceptive thing he ever said was that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose any supporters. And I just think, for an absolute fucking idiot, that was the most perceptive thing and the truest thing that he ever said.
And we ended that on Donald Trump there. Another something that Donald Trump said in Rage by Bob Woodward, which was quite perceptive. I'll read the passage. It's on page 92. Nearly 2 years later, after the president had held three meetings with Kim Jong-un, I asked Trump if he had given too much power to Kim by agreeing to meet. You know what I did, Trump said? One thing. I met. Big fucking deal. It takes me 2 days. I met. I gave up nothing. I didn't give up sanctions. I didn't give him anything. Okay? Didn't give him anything. I mentioned what President George W. Bush had once said to me about Kim's father, Kim Jong-il. I loathe Kim Jong-il, Bush had said, because he starved his people and kept tens of thousands in deplorable hard labor prison camps. And you know what? That attitude got him nothing, Trump said. In the meantime, they built a huge nuclear force during the last two administrations. So Trump said he agreed to meet. What the fuck? It's meeting. I agreed to meet. What? You mean instead of sitting home reading your book, I met? And I think, I say it's in the loosest possible sense, that I could see Trump's rationale for that decision making. Like, you do nothing, you play the antagonist, and Kim Jong-un continues to torture his own people. You build a rapport, you try to civilize his politics and use an unconventional form of diplomacy or incentivization, adding credence to them as a power, as a global power. And you do that to mitigate the worst atrocities. Now, I don't think Trump gives two fucks about human rights abuses, but there's people around him, arguably Pompeo, who at least take that into consideration. And now they've got a diplomatic back channel to North Korea. So there was method to that madness, which I assume Trump was doing as usual and just going on, you know, whatever drives him in that moment. Very mercurial, capricious leader that he is. But then looking at that, there seems to be a bit of self-reflection sometimes. And then some thought goes into his maneuvers, but, you know, not very much. And it's also just the ego, the egoic motivation, sorry, of getting someone who has been very resistant to any kind of help or interaction from the Americans, getting them on side just by the power of your own personality and charisma, which is what Trump would be going through his head, I imagine. But anyway, yeah, thank you for listening to this bonus episode. Normal episodes every Tuesday, and I'll whop these out as and when. So thank you for listening.